In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, that which brings comfort to these mothers of Bethlehem is the same thing which brings comfort to you in the midst of your trials, tribulations, griefs. Now, Lord willing, you perhaps have never experienced pain like these mothers experienced. Nobody has taken your children from you and murdered them. But perhaps you have lost a child or a sibling, you've lost a parent, and yet the Lord remains with you in your grief. He remains with you to comfort you, to bear you up, to lift you up, to forgive your sins, to dry your tears, and to bring you into His kingdom where ages never end. What avails for these mothers is the fact that Jesus Christ has escaped the sword of Herod. For nobody takes his life from him, but he lays it down of his own accord at the time and in the way of his choosing. These boys give their lives as a shield, as it were, that the Lord might escape, because it is not yet the time. But when the time does come, the Lord does not escape. He submits humbly to the Sanhedrin and to Pilate and to this Herod's son. When the time comes and he desires to lay down his life for the sins of the world, for these boys in Bethlehem, for their mothers, and for you, nothing will stop him, nothing will prevent him. He goes as a lamb to the slaughter, quiet and without complaint. And by his death on the cross, he reconciles all mankind to his Father. By the stretching out of his arms upon the cross, he pays for the sins of all men of all time. He dies because of Herod's wrath. He dies for the grief of these mothers. He dies to provide you comfort. And nothing can and does stop him. Whatever your grief may be, whatever it is that you bear, thinking that you are alone in bearing this burden in your soul, Jesus has died to comfort you. He has risen again to usher you into new and everlasting life. Those mothers did not know it at the time. And when we are in the depths of our deepest sorrow and mourning, we maybe don't recognize it and realize it at the time either. Though we do know more than those mothers then knew. The benefit of hindsight, of course, is that it's 2020. We know the full story. We know how the story ends. We know where this is going. At that time, perhaps they didn't. They knew that their sons had been cruelly and brutally ripped from their arms. There's nothing wrong with mourning that. There's nothing wrong with being full of sorrow for that. Indeed, the church from ancient times has recognized that this feast day is unique amongst them all. For though we count the holy innocents as martyrs, the church did assign, since at least the Middle Ages, that if this feast day should fall during the week, that is, any day other than Sunday, that it should be celebrated in penitential violet. Because these are more than simple martyrs. As though any martyr is simply a simple martyr. But there is something brutal. There is something disgusting. There is something revealing about the brokenness of our sinful nature in the murder of children, that the church assigned it as a day of penitence and of lamentation for sin. Perhaps we ought to recover that, especially in a day and age which does not treasure children, which sees them as inconveniences which can be discarded, murdered in their mother's wombs, not even in their arms, but in their wombs. Perhaps we should recover that this is a day of penitence and seeking the Lord's mercy. But be that as it may, there is such a thing as godly grief. There is such a thing as godly mourning. But St. Paul says we mourn as those, not as those who have no hope. It's okay to grieve and to mourn your loved ones. It's okay to grieve and to mourn the sins which weigh you down and bear you down and cause you all sorts of trouble, anxiety, and worry. Because you recognize in that there is a brokenness in this life, that this life is not what there is, all that there is meant to be, that there is more intended for you, that there is more that was intended for you. But by your sins, it has been lost and destroyed. But to mourn as those who have hope is not to be overcome by grief. To mourn as those who have hope is to mourn the effects of sin. But then to cry out, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus, deliver me. Lord Jesus, comfort me. Raise me up. Glorify and perfect my body. Reunite me with my loved ones who have departed in the faith. Indeed, I said towards the end of the Advent season, that in fact is what we are praying for, even in the Lord's Prayer when we say, Thy kingdom come. We aren't just saying, bring your kingdom among us. What we are actually and in fact praying for, that the kingdom would come among us, is that Jesus would hasten the last day, when he would bring the time when those tears are dried, when we are reunited with those loved ones in perfected and glorified bodies. Gone are all traces of sickness and disease and whatever else it is that afflicts us. To pray thy kingdom come means, Lord, come now. Bring the end of the age now. Deliver me from this broken and dying world where I hurt, where I'm full of sorrow, where people are taken from me. Deliver me from that now. Bring your kingdom where ages never end. Glorify my body. And put away all those things which trouble and torment me. And so we pray, thy kingdom come. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. But until such time as we wait for the fulfillment of that prayer and the answering of that prayer, the comfort provided for us is that that prayer will be answered. Just as every other prayer has been answered. The Lord will bring his glorious kingdom at the end of the age. And he will put away all that torments and troubles us. He will glorify and perfect our bodies. But while we wait, he has not left us as those abandoned. But he provides for us in his means. He provides for us out of his merits and out of his treasure. He gives us the word of his cross. He gives us the waters of holy baptism. The absolution and the Holy Communion. And in the midst of our trouble and affliction, we would have them lifted from us. That in the midst of our trouble, we would be reminded again and again that Christ has paid our penalty in his flesh, and this world is not all that there is, that we wait for something more. That as we wait, we would yet, even now, have the forgiveness of our sins, the strengthening and preservation of our faith, and the sign, seal, and guarantee of our own bodily resurrection on the last day. That which comforted and availed for those mothers, comforts and avails for us. Surely, they spent 30, 40, 50, 60 years even mourning the loss of their sons in this life. But now, by the grace of God, because Christ Jesus has laid down his life at the proper time and in due course, they have been reunited with their sons in the bosom of Christ Jesus for nearly 2,000 years and into eternity. Their tears have been comforted. Rachel's sorrow has been taken away. For Christ, the King of the martyrs, has been crucified and is raised again. And in him, they have life. And in him, so too do we. In Jesus' name, amen.